Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, November 7th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you. So why don't we start things off with reviewing what happened during the month of October among the Ministry of Finance's currency intervention, you know, which was a record amount, also huge amount of JGB buying operations from the Bank of Japan, and the resulting changes in Japan's monetary base.
Japan's monetary base expanded to 620 trillion yen by 2.8 trillion yen in October. In October, the MOF announced currency intervention of 6.3 trillion yen, with 7.2 trillion yen of funds absorbed from foreign currency factors. The BOJ bought 12.5 trillion yen of JGBs. The BOJ has been supporting an expansion by the country's monetary base by continuing to supply money through daily fixed rate JGB buying and temporary JGB buying operations. Japan's monetary base would have shrunk if the BOJ did not respond to buy more JGBs.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, you know, the currency intervention obviously definitionally reduces the monetary base, while JGB buying increased it. So you basically had, you know, those two opposing forces sort of cancel each other out. You know, which kind of makes sense. You know, you can't buy an unlimited amount of JGBs without having your currency, you know, depreciate. And then, you know, so that's a really good illustration of the push and pull that the Bank of Japan and the Ministry of Finance, as well as investors, are engaged in here. Switching topics slightly, but obviously related, Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda has recently indicated, and I'd like some more color on this, that he may become more flexible, I guess I would say, with regards to monetary policy. Could you take us through that, and also just kind of help us read the tea leaves on Bank of Japan monetary policy going forward?
Okay. On November 2nd, the BOJ Governor Haruhiko Kuroda indicated that the bank may ease yield curve control operations before the economy achieves the 2% inflation target. While the BOJ tends to be widely perceived as being wed to monetary easing, as we have been noting, the BOJ has been moving toward normalizing the country's monetary base out of the post-COVID economy. The monetary base has not expanded substantially, while COVID countermeasure operation funds are being net repaid. As I said, we think that the monetary base would have decreased in October if the BOJ had not conducted daily fixed rate and a temporary JGB buying operations. The monetary base will likely start to show signs of change in monetary policy out of an exit, even though Governor Kuroda will stick to his intention and a basic stance of not altering current monetary policy until he confirms that deflation is over. And not only cost push, but overall inflation has taken root, including the wage hikes. Going forward, the BOJ's COVID countermeasure operations are scheduled to end in March 2023. And the monetary base could shrink. Next March and April, the BOJ will likely start to be more flexible slowly once the new leadership takes office, as they show their intent with policy operations surrounding inflation and the economy. Diet confirmation processes in January next year will reveal the policy stance of the BOJ nominees.
Okay, so this is a super key point. So I want to repeat it for our, you know, for our listeners' benefit. But what you're saying is the Japan's monetary base is the TEL with the BOJ. So the monetary base, it's amazing how many JGBs the Bank of Japan buys, and yet the monetary base, you know, only expands slightly or sort of is little changed. So, you know, if and when that the monetary base starts shrinking, that's sort of the first sign that the Bank of Japan may be considering, you know, some sort of exit of their current super accommodative monetary policy. And interesting that it sort of coincides with the change of leadership, with new leadership of the BOJ likely to take their place after Governor Kuroda's term expires in March. So yeah. Great point. Thank you for highlighting that for us. On a related note, so we talked about you know, monetary policy there. I'd be curious the key points around the Kishida administration's upcoming secondary budget, as well as, you know, so that's fiscal, as well as, you know, any sort of monetary policy sort of, you know, correlation, if you will. I know recently that the Kishida administration announced some inflation countermeasures. You know, to take us all through it.
On October 28th, Prime Minister Kishida already announced the inflation countermeasures. On November 8th, the cabinet is scheduled to approve the Kishida administration's second supplementary budget, which was one of the components of the inflation countermeasures. I plan to put out a report on the details, and I will update our listeners next week. Over the near term, the Ministry of Finance will keep TDB issuances level and not change the fund management and the JGB issuances until the fiscal year 23 budget and the JGB issuance plans are drafted. Meanwhile, the BOJ has practiced monetary operations, focusing on controlling the JGB yield curve, and these have stabilized yen fund supply and demand while not expanding Japan's monetary base dramatically. The BOJ has been continuing with monetary operations while, firstly, not straying from its overshooting style of commitment and balancing. Secondly, the fluctuations in a fiscal fund supply and demands. And a third, JGB yield curve control operations. However, supply and demand for money, yen, shows that the monetary base has grown only slightly, and a monetary easing has not necessarily resulted in money being supplied. The BOJ's yield curve control operations have greatly skewed the JGB yield curve at the 10-year zone, judging from the steepening by the yen swap rate curve. Going forward, we expect a neutral bias for the yen yield curve because of the BOJ's yield curve control operations. However, we expect eventually see an upward bias when higher inflation and wages are clearer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, the kink in the yield curve is very visually obvious. That's for sure. So the Bank of Japan is doing is certainly having the effect, maybe not exactly the desired effect, but certainly a big effect on the market. You gave us a little bit of your outlook on yen rate. I'd like to expand on that, however, and also get your outlook for spot dollar yen and yen basis.
Hawkish speculation following Chair Powell's post-meeting comments to the press resulted in dollar yen trading to 148 last week. This week, the October US CPI will be key to watch. Inflation for core CPI items staying stubbornly high will likely boost expectations for hawkish monetary policy from the Fed, impacting dollar yen. On the other hand, on October 2nd, BOJ Governor Haruhiko Kuroda indicated that yield curve control operations may be loosened, which would support a stronger yen. The Ministry of Finance intervened the currency markets to the turn of 6.3 trillion yen in the yen, buying an in October. Wariness about further currency intervention will also likely weigh on the yen. On balance, we see the bias for dollar shifting from neutral to bullish, and dollar yen trading in a 146 to 149 range. The swap rate curve has steepened slightly. Key events over the near term: 30-year JGB auction on November 9th, and the BOJ's JGB buying operations for duration below 25 years, and November 8th. The BOJ will likely calmly stick with yield curve control operations. Governor Clodagh's comment about loosening yield curve has not resulted in any big changes to investing flows yet. But in our view, many investors are trying to understand what he really means. For now, we think market speculations will continue to focus on exit for the BOJ's yield curve control operations and the BOJ's JGB buying operations. We continue to see a neutral bias for yen rates. Yen basis curve has started to widen. Ministry of Finance data for the week of October 23rd to 29th shows that the Japanese investors sold a net 1.5 trillion yen of overseas securities, including medium to long-term foreign bonds 1.1 trillion yen, holding stocks and investment fund holdings 248 billion yen, and short-term holding bonds 176 billion yen. Japanese investors have been scrambling to reshuffle their assets and make redemption. Over the same week, overseas investors unloaded a net 738 billion yen of Japanese securities. They bought a net 337 billion yen of Japan stocks and investment fund holdings, but unloaded a net 902 billion yen of short-term yen bonds and a net 172 billion yen of medium to long-term yen bonds. Selling and reshuffling of assets among foreigners stood out to me. Over the near term, foreigners will likely pile into the front end of yen basis. Japanese investors will not be holding cash forever and will likely rebuild their overseas assets positions more actively following results of the US midterm elections this week. We expect Japanese securities investment flows to prevail and maintain our view for a widening bias for yen basis.
Okay, great. So bullish on dollar yen, despite a number of counterbalancing forces there. Neutral on JGBs, but you do highlight the sell-off in the super long sector of the curve, as well as risks to the upside in terms of yields, that is, in the future. And then cross currency basis bias wider on balance. You know, as you mentioned, Japanese investors can't hold cash forever. They've been in cash in terms of foreign bonds for a long time, but perhaps that could change after the midterms. You know, again, a lot of offsetting flows there. So a lot of good stuff in this episode. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.